and all the benefits of it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll take off from the resurrection, but we'll go a little bit beyond that. What it means to us, the effects of it, the results of it. And we'll start reading in verse number 8. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, of course, Paul is defending the resurrection from a group that had come in and tried to convince people that now that people are starting to die, what's going to happen to them? And, you know, is there really a resurrection and all this other stuff since Jesus didn't come back like he seemed like he said he would? Of course, we know that his coming, as far as coming in the clouds for his saints, is imminent any time. They were looking for him back then. But there was a little confusion. That's by the way, we don't have to be confused about this issue. We've got the whole New Testament. These folks didn't have the whole New Testament, so they kind of had a right to be confused. But God had a solution to that. He had the writers of the New Testament standing in the wings, waiting to give us all that we need to live for Jesus Christ. And so, verse number 8, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. You see that? Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And again, he was talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is presented in the first four verses of this chapter. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit now and use me, clear my mind up, help me, Lord, to deliver the message that you have for us tonight. And I pray that you'd help this to be an encouragement and help to all who hear. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul, even right here in his defense of the resurrection, talked about what benefit he had from the resurrection himself. By the grace of God, I am what I am. A lot of people, here's what they say, I can't help what I am. You just have to take me the way I am. And Paul said, no, I didn't stay where I was. I moved on because the grace of God did something with me. Amen. Don't expect people to take you as you are when you've got the grace of God. By the way, he gave us all the grace we needed to do the job that God left us here to do. Say, well, there's not enough grace for me. Why not? There was enough grace for him to go and die on the cross. There was enough grace for him to rise from the dead. There was enough grace for him to shed his blood. There was enough grace. There's enough grace to change you into what God wants you to be. And Paul said, I was the worst. I persecuted the church. I know I'm not meet to be called an apostle, and yet by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, it's a wonderful thing, the resurrection from the dead, when you think about it. You know, Jesus died, and by the way, sometimes our presentation of the gospel to people is a little deficient when we don't get to the resurrection. We know that he died on the cross for our sins. But that death on the cross would have been of none effect had he not risen from the dead. If you look at verse number 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet. You know what that means? You're still in your sins. But he did raise from the dead. Amen? And because he rose from the dead, man, I can do something for him. Move on down. Let's move over to Romans chapter 6, if we could. Romans chapter 6. I'm going somewhere. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. By the way, this is a this is what baptism is. All right? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So because of his resurrection, something happened. Whenever I trusted his resurrection, something happened to me. There's this thing called born again. Amen. Something in me was made new. Amen. My soul was saved and my spirit was revived. Yeah. Now I'm a two-part being. Yeah. Actually, I'm a three-part. I have a soul and a spirit. But those are in total agreement with Jesus Christ. But I have a body that gives me fits. I have a body that has some problems. Yeah. I'm not talking about physical problems. I got enough of those too. But I'm talking about other kind of problems. But let's move on. For he that is dead, wait a minute, let's go back to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Isn't that wonderful? Death hath no more dominion over him. He's alive. Death has no more dominion over him. By the way, death has lost its victory. There's no more sting in death. Why? Because he rose from the dead. He was the first fruits. We're going to follow after. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For in that he died. He died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, listen to this, likewise, in the same way that this happened to him, in the same way, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your, what? Mortal body. Wait a minute, what does that mean? He says, don't let sin reign. Did you know that you can let sin reign? And you're still saved. Don't let it rain. That means it's possible. If it was impossible for somebody that's saved to sin, why do we have all these things written in the Bible about don't do this? If you're risen with Christ, don't do that. Well, if you're risen with Christ, you wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, you would. You still got this thing. This boat anchor that we have hanging around our soul and our spirit. In verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, a familiar verse. Many of us have it memorized, but we'll read it for the sake of those that don't. And I might just forget it because I'm getting at that age. Galatians 2 and verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live. Okay? I'm crucified with Christ. What happened? I received his sacrifice for my sin. Whenever I receive that sacrifice, that part of my soul that was sinful was crucified with him. And my sins were all forgiven. My soul was saved. My spirit was revived. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But what is living in my soul and in my spirit right now? Yet not I. right? What do I have? Well, I have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. By the way, that part of me that's holy, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's not just a spirit, it is the Holy Spirit. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, so Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We have salvation. It's free. By the way, if you're here and you're not saved, in a little while we're going to give an invitation and we invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can become a partaker of exactly what I'm talking about. New life in Christ. But here, now we've got this problem. When he saved me, my body, my flesh, hasn't been saved. I'm waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of my body. I'm waiting on that. Someday there's a trumpet going to sound. There's going to be a shout. And immediately this body is going to change. I am saved from the punishment of sin. Amen? Someday I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin. And I'm going to be saved from the power of sin. And this body's going to be changed. But it hadn't happened yet. I'm teaching in Bible doctrines. We went through a section about the sanctification and what it means. And we're dealing with some of the Armenian doctrines where they believe that there can be a second work of grace where you can eradicate the sin nature out of your body. If you just walk close enough to God, you'll no longer sin. You'll reach this state of sinless perfection. I got to say, if somebody ever comes up and tells me they're sinlessly perfect, they just told a lie. It's amazing that people that believe that they become sinlessly perfect, how low the bar is for what they consider sin. You know, what I do is not sin. But there is going to be no sinlessly perfect while we live in this body. This body is sold under sin, it says. Okay, so what happens now? I'm saved. I have this new nature that lives in me. It's the righteousness of Christ. And then I've got this body that doesn't want to do what it's told. Paul said, I bring my body under. Right? I have to control my body. I recently read a book. Sometimes that's a good thing to do. And the author of the book brought out a little thing that it explains this very well. He found a good illustration in the Old Testament that explains this. By the way, the best illustrations, preacher boys, are from the Bible. I'm not saying other illustrations aren't good. They are. They're applicable. But a lot of times a Bible illustration will show us some truths. Go back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. The illustration came from a book by William Grady. But it was an excellent idea behind this. Exodus 21. Look at verse number 28. 21:28. And if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. Okay? But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life. Amen. I like that. Ransom of his life. Jesus did a ransom for my life. Amen. Whatsoever is laid upon him. Now here's the illustration. If I own an ox, I have a duty to control that ox. Now, if that ox proves to be a rogue ox and he pushes with his horn and kills somebody, that ox has to die. But if I knew that that ox had a tendency to push with its horn and had probably hurt other animals in the process or something like that, and I did not control my ox, I didn't kill that guy. I'm not guilty of his death, but my ox did. Now listen to me. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ. And you got an ox to control. You're gonna have to give an account for what your ox did. That's what your body is. And by the way, it's not just any regular ox. It's the ox that is wont to push with its horn. Doesn't that describe you? It kind of wants to go off and do its own thing. That's your ox. Let me show you in the Bible what I mean by that. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, this same is also a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put it, and we can go on down. Look at verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue, among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith, bless we God. Yeah, we could show up for church. Amen, brother. Good to see you, brother. How you doing, brother? How I love Jesus. Therewith, bless we God, and therewith, it's an a curse we men, which are made after the symbol of God. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And you know what's in our mouth? We got a tongue. That thing's an unruly ox. It's uncontrollable. Probably nothing does more damage in a church than a bunch of people standing around talking. Usually talking about the preacher and the message he did and how much they didn't like it or one thing or another. Nothing that'll do more damage in your home life or among your friends is to let your tongue go. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Listen to me. We are free. I was in the bondage of corruption. But Jesus Christ, through His grace and through His death, burial, and resurrection, set me free and took me out of a bondage of corruption and put me into the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Whereas before I was saved, I could not serve God. Now that I'm saved, I can serve God. I'm free to serve God. That bondage that we were delivered from is a sin that your body wants to go back to. But there's something in us now. There's something in us that wants to please God. There's something in us that when we do something wrong, there's something in us that says, we shouldn't have done that. And so we have this war and this struggle going on. Let's move on a little bit. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, and take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. There's that tongue again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so here you go. How do you control your ox? How do you get control of that unruly evil that you walk around with every day? You walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We could go on. But look at this. There is so much here. So many ways that we fail God. Because why? Because we let our ox out of the box. We let the ox take over. Well, what's the consequences? I mean, after all, I've been set free. He said, don't use your liberty as an occasion to flesh. You know, you can make the choice to live after the flesh if you want to. Adam and Eve were the freest beings there ever were. They lived in a perfect environment, and there was a tree there that God said don't eat of, but he never put a guard up by it. And they could choose whichever way they wanted to go. Of course, we know they chose the wrong way to go. And now we have this flesh, and it wants to go this way. And we got to put a leash on that thing and pull it back. Are there consequences if we don't? Do we lose our salvation if we don't control our ox? No way. We're saved, and we're saved forever. Let's look at a few references on what happens when we don't control our ox. Okay? Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, there's something coming. I think some people that are shouting for the rapture might have a little bit of a hard time at what takes place during that 7-year period between the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Because something's going to be going on during that time. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So here we are, we're building. Ever since we got saved, we started building. And we're choosing the building materials we're using. Some of us want to take the easy way, and we're going to build with wood, hay, and stubble. Some of us want to build something that's going to last, that's going to have some value, and they're building with the gold, silver, and precious stones. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you see the picture here? You know that most of what we build with our lives here on earth, even the best of us, will be burned up someday. We work many hours of the week so that we can make a house payment. We ain't taking that house with us. We work many hours a week so that we can make a car payment, or so that we can own a vehicle, so that we can pay insurance, so we can pay our electric bills and all this other stuff. None of that's going with us. But a few hours of the week, we're given the opportunity to do something for God. And some people listen to the ox. And they don't do it. And so all of our stuff is going to be thrown into that fire, and what's going to come out on the other side? And if some of this stuff survives the fire, we're going to receive a reward. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. These are not unfamiliar verses. These are verses that we probably see many times throughout the year, and we've been warned and waved in our faces and yelled at about them and warned that of what could come if we don't take heed. And by the way, it probably just needs to be done again. Amen? Look at verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, and why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know, we're awful quick to see other people's faults. You know, there's a lot of people that don't go to church today because they seen somebody's fault in the church. And they quit going to church. If you're listening by the radio and you're one of those people, you're not going to give an account for the person that offended you at church. You're going to give an account for yourself. Are you listening to me? You're not going to be able to stand up before God and say, I just quit going because so-and-so offended me. Yeah, but was it right to go to church? Did I tell you to go to church? Yeah, God, but that guy offended me. It doesn't matter. I told you to go to church. Your excuses are not going to be very valuable when they get to heaven. They may sound good down here, and you can sit around with your buddies and talk about how there's so many hypocrites at the church. But when you stand before God, it's not going to hold much water. You're going to give an account for yourself. Why didn't you go to church? I'll take care of that guy. That's my job. Your job was to go to church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, we want to act like the devil and blame everybody else. You know, he's kind of an accuser, right? Ain't my fault, God. It was somebody else's fault. No, you're going to give an account for yourself. You got a Bible on your shelf. You know you're going to give an account for this? Because you had it on your shelf? Well, I never read it. It's not God's fault you didn't read it. It's not God's fault you didn't take heed to what it said. There's people that read it and don't even do what it says. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Done in his body. Did you control your ox? I think at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be discovered how well we controlled the ox. Did we keep the ox in? Did we bridle the ox? Did we bind it? Did we train it? Did we bring it into subjection? Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now listen to this, verse 8. Don't try to read in the fact that you can lose your salvation here. You can't lose your salvation, but we'll deal with that. I'm not going to leave you hanging out over hell without any hope here. But look what it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. Yeah. All right? Let me ask you something. Is my salvation something I had to work for?
No.
It was a gift, right?
Amen.
So I didn't have to sow any seed to get salvation for myself. Right? I am supposed to sow seed, right? What kind of seed am I supposed to sow? He that goeth forth weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What is that all about? We're talking about sowing the seed of the Word of God. If we're going to sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap the benefits of that. That's life everlasting. Not for us. We have that. But life everlasting. What's the fruit of a Christian? Another Christian. Somebody else that gets saved.
Amen?
Amen? And look at this, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Interesting thing. I don't know anybody that gets weary in wrong-doing. You know, lost people never get tired of doing sinful things. You hardly ever see a drunk say, I'm so tired of drinking. Well, maybe the next morning. But why is it that we get weary in well-doing? Right? I'll tell you why. We got a lazy ox. The Spirit that I have in me, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives within me, He never gets weary of that. And he's the one that when your alarm gets off says, don't hit the snooze button, college students. Get up! It ain't just college students. There's some professors that have this battle of the bed every morning. Get that ox out of bed. And be not weary. We get so weary. I'm going to take a break from doing good. I'm going to go out and do something I want to do for a while. Isn't that what we do? Think about it. Why is it when we're weary and well-doing, we want to do something bad or something questionable? Let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's not very far from well-doing to fainting, right? So what am I saying here? I'm almost done. There's five crowns. There's probably some other rewards. Stars in the crowns. I think when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I think every one of us have all of those crowns. And we're so happy And God says, go see that angel over there. You need to pay for all the damage your ox did. Maybe you got 10 million crownie points. You got them all. But now you got to go pay for the damage the ox did. You got to pay for the damage that ox's tongue did. You got to pay. And so, well, I guess I can't get that crown of life. I can't get that crown of rejoicing because my ox kept getting me in trouble. And you'll be like that guy that just gets there yet so as by fire. Just barely squeaked in because he was saved. There's a lot of stuff laid up there. But you know, just like the owner of that ox, if that ox pushed with his horn and he knew it was wont to do that, and by the way, you know your ox is wont to do that. In other words, it's very likely it's going to do that if you let it go. If you don't keep it on a leash, if you don't keep it subdued and controlled, it's going to push. It's going to hurt somebody. It's going to destroy something. It's going to mess something up. If we let that ox have control, what are you going to do with your ox? What are you going to do? Well, I can do whatever I want. You're absolutely right. But you know, there's more at stake than just you. The biggest fallacy of any form of religion that puts some kind of works on our salvation is that nobody, they think salvation is a reward, and it's not a reward. And by the way, let me say this. If I had to work to keep my salvation, I could never earn any of these crowns because I couldn't work for my salvation out of love for Christ, but only out of fear. And what we do for Christ, we must do it out of a sincere heart of love for Him. And how can I love Him if I'm afraid He's going to take it away from me? Listen, we've got these rewards. They're waiting on us. But a lot of it's going to depend on what we do with our ox, what we do in our bodies. Man, my spirit's saved. My soul is saved. They're sinless. They don't want to do wrong, but I've got an ox. And I've got to control that ox. What are you going to do with your ox? What are you going to do with your ox? Let's pray. Father, I ask now that You'd ask Your blessings to the message. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak to hearts this morning, this evening. If there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that You'd work in their hearts. I pray they'll come down and get this settled. And I pray for the Christian that's struggling to do right in his body, that's struggling with this idea. And Lord, I pray that You'll see the incentives that You've put before us. That they'll see what You've done and what we have. And because of His resurrection, we have new life. We have great reward if we'll just surrender and keep our bodies in control. Help us now and work in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, we invite you to come down to this altar. If you're not saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Are you struggling with your body? Are you struggling with your ox?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all to Thee all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Well, thank you, Brother Morgan. That was a very good message. I think that all of us could take that home with us. Amen. Well, that's the first time I've ever heard that preached in that particular sense, and pretty simple to understand that, isn't it? We've got to harness these oxes of ours. Amen. Well, it's been a great day today. We had some souls saved this morning, and it's going to be a great week. So be praying for the pastor as they travel off, and we'll have a quick word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Brother Morgan and the message that he preached. And Father, I do ask, Lord, that you'll help us to take that with us and meditate upon us, Lord. And Father, help us to each and every one to remember, Lord, that it's our ox that we have to keep under control. Father, as we leave here tonight, Lord, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe Wednesday night. We love you, we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.